This is Leo Babiu, and in the lead up to Cabin Fever Reliever 2023, we're calling this April edition Take 2 because Take 1, which was on March 12th, was snowed out, as you all know by now. Well, listeners, we're lucky today. We've got Mr. E.H. Ojard in the studio to talk about his music, his life, and probably most importantly, what Cabin Fever means to him. No, I'm only kidding there. But seriously, Mr. O, could you clear up for those of us of all ages who know that you're growing up, you're in high school, and we're just not sure, should we be addressing you as Edward or Eddie or maybe something else? Can you help us out with that?
Yeah. Hi, everyone. So, yeah, my name is Edward H. Ojard, but, I mean, everyone calls me Eddie. I mean, Eddie's fine for me.
You've made peace with the fact that, some people will respond and call you Edward and others will just not get it.
Yeah, I honestly don't mind either way. I'm fine.
That's good to know. So, Edward, you'll be performing at the Cabin Fever Reliever, the Take 2, on this coming Sunday, April 23rd. Maybe you don't recall any better than I do. It's at least your third time appearing with us.
I remember because my first few times I played The List Rhapsody, and then I played one of my originals, and then this will be at least my third time.
Okay. I think we could get right to it and talk a little bit about what you might do for us this time around. Is it going to be an original piece? I'm sure you've been practicing it, even though you're probably ready to play at the drop of a hat. But what are we likely to hear? It's pretty much carved in stone what we're going to hear right now.
Yeah, well, I'm going to play this amazing piece by Franz Liszt.
So oh, wow.
This piece, and Franz Liszt is known for his very virtuosic pieces. I mean, they're difficult, but they're also very beautiful because they're in the romantic genre. So the piece I'll be playing is called Reminiscence d'Onora. This piece is actually written off of an opera by Bellini, and the opera was called Norma.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what Liszt did is he took that opera and he pretty much transcribed it to the piano. So he took this, 2-hour long opera and made it to this 20-minute long piece. What I did is I shortened it up just a tiny bit more so it could be more realistic to a person's attention span. But I mean, this piece is beautiful. It has so many virtuosic pieces. And at the end of the piece, I do something very special with my hands, the way I play. So it'll definitely be a show.
So it's even got a visual element to it,
flair.
And that's something to think about. And I guess that's something that I haven't thought about as a non-musician myself who's seen people play very lengthy classical pieces that have passages after passage. And I just wonder, is there something special about the brains of people like you who can do these long, sustained stretches where I might at some point worry that, have I already played this?
No, I understand. Especially in the piece I'm playing, it can be very repetitive.
Right.
But that's the thing about a good musician is that they will highlight different changes in the repetitive spots, or they will make sure that it's more interesting for the listeners. And, the visuals are everything. If you can, highlight a wrist movement or, your arm up in the air, that's everything. It just makes it more interesting.
The instrument probably matters. You're familiar with the instrument that will be at Two Harbors High School?
Yeah, I've played on that piano before, and I understand the sound, and it'll be a good piano for my performance.
And I hadn't thought of this before. This is your first year at Two Harbors High School. I believe you told me you're in the 10th grade.
Yeah.
Even though you're only 14, there's something accelerated there.
Yes.
Take note, audience. But do you play piano during the school day, or is this a piano-free day when you're at school?
When I'm at school, I focus on schoolwork because I focus on getting good grades. But when I get home, before I do my homework, I practice piano just to keep that freshened up because in the fall I have competitions.
Okay.
That's like state competitions, so I practice my pieces for that. And then this summer, I will have a lot of music summer camps. So that's important to practice up for.
Right. Is most of your work when you're trying to get the true sound of your performing on a piano then done on an acoustic piano, not on an electronic keyboard?
No, a keyboard would ruin everything. I mean, it's just...
It would not be appropriate practice
for delivering
a performance on the piano.
If it's like, if you don't have a piano, electric piano is fine.
It's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's better than nothing.
Okay. But you fortunately get to be at a real piano each and every day you're rehearsing. Okay.
Yeah.
You have kind of a long history for a 14-year-old in music, don't you? You want to give us a sense of when you got started and how you progressed to where you are?
So the first time I touched a piano was when I was 3 years old. My mom had an electric keyboard, and I thought that was kind of cool, and I climbed on and tried to play a couple keys, and my mom told me that every day I would get on the keyboard and just keep trying to play something. So my mom understood that, and she helped me have piano lessons, and then over time, I keep practice, and I keep getting, you know, better and better, and then we just keep keeping at it, and that's where I am today.
To the extent that, what were you, 9 years old when you released your first CD?
8 years old.
Eight years old. Okay.
Yeah.
And funny that we are talking about CDs because the world is full of dropping downloads and Spotify services and things like that. To find your music, if I want to play it in my own earbuds or at home, I'd be just as well off trying to find it on CD, or could I download your music somewhere?
Yeah, I've not kind of touched at that downloading thing. I've only had CDs out.
Okay.
I like CDs because they're, you know, kind of easy and everyone has a CD player. But
everybody over a certain age has a CD player.
Yeah. So that is definitely something I have to think about. Maybe my next CD will be a couple pieces will be online and downloadable.
Okay. But
you can find my CDs around Two Harbors, at the Greenhouse, Anderson Greenhouse, or at the Depot downtown in Two Harbors.
Great. The other thing I was going to point out is you might want to diversify, because it turns out that most of the cars being made these days aren't coming out with a CD player on board.
I know, right? Yeah.
And your music must be fantastic when it's about the landscapes of Two Harbors area. Now we're going to talk, you've done some themes around the state of Minnesota. Really fun to be able to drive through landscapes and hear a piece that you've done that reflects that landscape.
Yeah, so like I've done two of my CDs now have highlighted Minnesota. And so my third CD was called Two Harbors. And, you know, I thought a long time about this and how I was going to do the CD. I just thought I would highlight some certain points about Two Harbors that made it unique, and then kind of pretty much turn it into a piece. For an example, I did like Burlington Bay, Agate Bay, Summer Rush, you know, like the Summer Rush of Two Harbors, and just, you know, pieces like that that can show the highlights of Two Harbors, but I transcribe it to piano.
And I recall that you have some things that are evocative of snowfall.
Yes.
Yeah.
Snowfall in Two Harbors, snowfall in the lake.
And maybe the morning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I've played them on my show. I'm embarrassed. I can't recall, bring to mind exact titles. But when you hear the title and you hear the music, you go, I think he got it. I think he captured it.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
That's like my goal every time I write a piece is, you know, I want to write a piece, but I also want to have a story behind the piece. Like when you close your eyes and, you know, you listen to the piece, can you vision it? Can you imagine it? And that's, you know, if someone can actually imagine it, you know, I wrote the piece well. I did my job, you know.
I'm getting the sense then that it is not a task, but kind of a really enriching mission for you to have new compositions in mind. It's not like you were forcing yourself, I have to pull out another tune because I would like to work on a CD. Instead, you're looking for more inspiration and fulfillment in it.
Yeah, well, at certain times it may feel really hard because, again, I think about it a lot, and every time I write another piece, I'm kind of careful that I don't write something that is alike to another piece, you know? It doesn't have the same rhythm, the same tune.
Right.
So at certain times it can be very hard for me to compose because I don't have anything in my head. So that's where my CDs like Two Harbors in Minnesota come out. It's because I think about, well, what have I not written about? You know, have I not written about Minnesota? Have I not written about the Twin Cities? And then from there, I think about the tune, the characteristic of the tune, and just piece together.
Let's say the Twin Cities is the mission for a composition. Huge part of Minnesota. Hard to do a Minnesota theme without including them, even for people that don't like the cities, they admit they're a big part of Minnesota. So does that landscape, that cityscape, change things for you? Because when you think of a city, it's automatically going to dictate some kind of change in the cadence, the patterns in the song, the liveliness.
Well, definitely a city is very busy. You think about a lot of people, you think about a lot of cars, honking, traffic, you know, so you got that aspect of it. But then you also have the aspect of when the city is, you know, let's say at night, and, you know, you have the stars out and, you know, everything's kind of calmed down. You're sitting at your apartment looking outside, looking at all the lights, and you have that kind of easy, calm aspect of it.
So So it has the meditative aspect as well. People who are alone in big city looking out their window can be as solitary as a person sitting in their cabin putting another piece of wood on the fire.
Exactly.
Okay. I like that. When you do find yourself stymied a little bit, like you say, oh, I just tried a pattern. Boy, I think I've played that before. Can that still sometimes open it up when you say, okay, what kind of variation on that is possible still?
Yeah. So, you know, I understand that, and I have kind of done that. I mean, if I want to hint out something, you know, that's like for an example, I had the song Agate Bay and Burlington Bay. Maybe it had something in common because they were both, you know, bays. They would have water, they're flowing, you know, it's like I could have like the same tune or hint the same tune, like they're still alike, but
yes,
of course they're very different. So I have that kind of aspect of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think people owe it to themselves that, and we will be playing more of your music, Edward, as we head into Cabin Fever, and not just when the show is still coming, but afterwards. We find that all year round, you've got themes that really have worked tremendously. I'm looking forward. There's another CD in the works, but maybe long ways off. No idea when you're going to have it necessarily ready.
Yeah, well, that would be, I plan to have this CD done by the fall, this fall before the school year starts.
Okay.
And this CD will be a continuation of my last. And my last CD was Minnesota. The reason I wanted to do a continuation was because, you know, Minnesota is a big state. It has a lot of unique attributes of Minnesota because, you know, everything about Minnesota is like you have the cities, you have the country, you have the sunsets, you have the sunrise, and it's like so many things to write about. You know, you can't just do it in one CD.
Sounds like you have a little bit of chauvinism, like a little bit of pride, both in where you live up in northeast Minnesota and the whole state. And that's kind of an interesting aspect to this music. It's not like an anthem that you're looking for, but you are trying to evoke landscapes in people's minds. And
yeah,
it's a unique challenge.
Yeah, I love doing it, though. It tickles my brain, you know. It's like, I think, like I said, I think about it. And, you know, as long as it fits the image, the tune fits the image, and, you know, you get the same feeling out of it. Yeah, that works for me.
Does it ever strike you that you have a little bit of, you're a teenager, that you have a little bit of a lonely pursuit, that there's a part of your life that not many of your peers can really identify with? Does that ever feel a little distancing from the rest of your peers, something that it's hard to explain to them?
Yeah, that does. I never really talk about that at all when I'm at school. I try to convince my friends to, like, you know, listen to me and stuff like that. And, you know, they like it. I do my showy thing. But
yeah,
when it comes to something more intellectual and, like, the stuff I just talked about, I keep it to myself because, you know, I mean, if they really wanted to know, they would ask. But, like, I haven't, you know, I don't.
I predict that eventually somebody will want to know more about it. But
yeah.
It certainly wouldn't work very well to try to rub it in their faces that you want to talk. Yeah, I get that.
But like school is a different atmosphere, too. I mean, I find that school is serious, but it's also fun. You know, I try to think about other things to talk with them than that beside music, because music's more serious for me. Like I want to go somewhere in music. You know,
right.
I don't want to have it like a side thing. This is what I'm going into. So I don't talk to them much about it because that's not what they don't need to know. I don't want them to know. So
you mentioned, we know you're in 10th grade and you're 14. And when we do the math, that means that you're going to be graduating a little earlier than the average Two Harbors High School grad. So you're going to have to be making some life decisions sooner than some of your friends.
Yeah, I would.
You thinking about them already? I mean, it sounds like music is in the cards for you.
Yes, that is what I'm planning. Once I get to like my senior year, I'm going to start thinking about scholarships. I'm going to start thinking about which colleges have the things that I need to pursue a musical career. So that would be, you know, honestly, kind of hard to do. I mean, I have to start researching a lot, but I'm not thinking about that right now.
Yeah. It just occurred to me, though, that you accelerated the path that most student piano students taking lessons go through. Have you exhausted the typical smaller town teaching resources? How do you challenge yourself to learn more? You have advanced instruction somewhere?
I mean, I think it's just me, but I don't mind to learn. Like, maybe sometimes I might act like I don't want to learn, but I do enjoy learning, and I always learn ahead every time we are in school. So I'll try to take as many classes as I can. And, you know, even if that puts me a lot of the ways ahead, I don't mind that because that will only help my career in the future.
Sure. I think you were telling me, though, that you found that you reached out and are taking instruction from college professors.
Yes, I am actually in UMD. I'm taking lessons there.
How do you find that? Do they relate to you as a 14-year-old, or are they used to a different level of a student coming to them? I don't know exactly what I'm asking, but seems normal to you.
Age doesn't matter when it comes to that.
Music.
You know, they don't look at me like I'm 14. You know, they look at me at my skill, like how good am I and how can I get better. That's how they look at me.
Are they good sources of thoughts on where you could you learn a little bit about what you could propose for your course forward? Because most 14-year-olds aren't trying to figure out how am I going to be a professional musician in 4 years.
Yeah, well, definitely. I mean, my piano teacher will definitely help me out and see which schools would be the best for me, because obviously they know a little bit about it being a music professor. So I definitely would ask them that, and then also scholarships. Which place could I audition for scholarships? Because that is a big deal for college, and I don't want to pay that much money for my education.
Well, if one's put in a lifetime of work, you would hope that it might come to some benefit when it comes time for that. So we've been speaking today with Edward H. Ojard, also known as Eddie Ojard, and I think I wanted to let people know that you've got other things going on, other interests when you're not either sitting in the classroom or practicing on the piano. You tell me you play a little bit of ball, a little bit of basketball. Do you have a favorite player, by the way?
Stephen Curry.
I'm not surprised, because you told me that you're a shooter.
Yeah, I like to shoot my threes.
You do. Okay. And I hope you're a good foul shooter.
Yeah.
You practice that. Give me a percent. Are you about a 70% foul shooter, at least?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, I only play with my friends in scrimmages. I don't actually play in the team.
Well, most scrimmages I've ever been in, you can't get a foul called on you and shoot foul shots.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So aside from the classical milieu, is other music touch your heart and soul that you like?
I'm a big fan of listening to music. I'll listen to any genre, pop, country, classical, even rap. Even rap should be considered music, but it is to me. I enjoy listening to all genres of music.
Yeah. Could you just call out maybe three performers that you would go over and turn up if you heard somebody had them on in the background?
Well, I like classical, but I mean other bands like for country, I like old country, so like Johnny Cash, John Denver. For pop, I like Imagine Dragons and, like Charlie Puth. Charlie Puth has a jazz background, so that is very interesting to hear in his pieces.
Okay.
And then I like rap, like Eminem, because he has interesting wordplay and his flow is very interesting. So I know.
Good to know, and that's kind of old school now.
Yeah.
I mean, we're talking like going back to the 20th century.
I know, right?
I'm
more for that. I'm more for older music rather than newer music.
I am impressed with your classic country references, so
thank you.
Keep it up. Thank you so much for taking time with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Really appreciate it. And again, you mentioned the Liszt piece. Is it Reminiscence?
De Norma. Yeah.
From the opera Norma. Okay, well, I'm looking forward to that tremendously. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you on the radio, and we'll see you Sunday at Cabin Fever.
Thank you for having me.
You take care. That was Edward H. Ojard, Eddie Ojard of North Shore fame. He'll be with us for the Cabin Fever Reliever, and we hope you are too. You're listening to KTWH, 99.5 FM, ktwh.org online.